Good afternoon. My name is Owen Egan, and I am the chairman of the Freedom of Information Commission. This is the regular meeting of the commission, January 25th, 2022. The public may listen to this meeting in real time by following the instructions listed at the top of the commission's meeting agenda currently posted on the commission's website. In addition, this meeting is being recorded in its entirety. For the benefit of the public, particularly those who may be listening to the meeting by telephone, I'll take a roll call so that the record reflects who is participating today. When I say your name, please indicate that you are present. Commissioner Barry, Commissioner Einhorn, Commissioner Fusashi, Mr. Hankins, Mr. Streeter,
here,
and myself, Owen Egan. Similarly, when the commission conducts a vote, it will be by roll. The first item is consideration of the minutes of the commission's special meeting of January 13th, 2023. Do I hear a motion?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Streeter, I move adoption of the special meeting minutes of January 13, 2013 for adoption.
Is there a second?
Commissioner Fusashi, I second it.
Thank you. We'll conduct a roll. Commissioner Fusashi?
Present, yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan? Yes. Passes unanimously.
Commissioner Hankins is the one.
Commissioner Hankins, are you there?
Yes.
I'm sorry. When I called the roll, I didn't hear you say present. So is that a yes for you with regard to the minutes?
No, I'm not here present.
That's a yes?
No.
Thank you. All right.
Commissioner Street, just so we know, Commissioner Hankins, it's really light, so we can barely hear you. So I don't know if you stepped on the cord again.
No, you're cutting in and out. You're cutting in and out.
So I think it's something
that's
that
good
has to do with your speaker.
That's good. No, that's good right there. Don't move. Next, we will consider the hearing officer's reports. I will call the docket. If you wish to address the commission on a particular docket number, please let me know when we call it, and we will mark it ready. We will take up the cases in the order that they are called. Here we go. First is docket number FIC 2020-0656, Lutan Ganey versus Kenneth Korak, Sergeant, Police Department, City of Waterbury, et al. Is there anyone here? Is Lutan Ganey there, please? Is anyone there from the City of Waterbury?
Yes, Richard Scapini. I would request adoption of the hearing officer's recommended dismissal.
Okay. And on this one, Mr. Chairman, I believe the complainant was incarcerated and is no longer incarcerated and has not given us a forwarding contact information.
Okay, I'd entertain a motion.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter here. For those that are listening, this was a dismissal. Seeing that the complainant's not here and there's no objection to the respondent, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Is there a second?
Mr. Hankins.
Commissioner Hankins, we can't hear you. Are you seconding? Okay, motion's been made and seconded. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Fusashi?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Thank you. Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Next is docket number FIC 2020-0421, Salvatore Coppola versus Chief, Police Department, City of Derby, et al. Is Mr. Coppola there, please? Okay. And is there anyone here from the City of Derby?
Commissioners, yes. John Marini representing City of Derby.
Thank you, Attorney Marini. We're going to mark this matter ready. Next, docket number FIC 2020-0504, Jen Haythorne and Greg Haythorne versus Chairman, Board of Finance, Town of Weston, et al. Or is Jen Haythorne here, please? Thank you. Is Greg Haythorn here?
He's not.
Okay. Is there anyone here from the town of Weston?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Nicholas Bumante on behalf of all the respondents.
Is it Bumante with a B?
Bumante, correct.
Yeah.
And we do wish to be heard.
We'll mark that ready. All right. Next is FIC 2021-0303, Bill Efros versus Chairman, Planning and Zoning Commission, Town of Greenwich et al. Is Mr. Efros here, please? Is there anyone here from the Town of Greenwich?
Yes, Commissioners, Abby Wadler for all respondents, asking for adoption of the hearing officer's recommendation.
Is the last name Wadler?
Yes, W-A-D-L-E-R.
Thank you. Thank you, Attorney Wadler.
Mr. Chairman, yes. I was the author of the hearing officer's report. After the report went out, Mr. Efros sent us an email stating that he wished to withdraw his complaint. So when it's an appropriate time for you, Mr. Chairman, I can offer an amendment on that. So if you want to do that.
You can do that right now. Yeah. Sure.
All right.
Thank you, Attorney Ross.
So the proposed amendment would leave in the first paragraph, but add an additional sentence. And that sentence would read, however, by email dated January 24th, 2023, the complainant withdrew his complaint. The commission takes administrative notice of such email. After that, everything in the report, except for that footnote, would stay. Everything will be deleted through and including paragraph 5. And the paragraph that says the following order, that would stay the same. Paragraph 1 of the order would be amended to read simply that the complaint is dismissed. So taking out the words that say action of the respondents is confirmed and the, and then pursuant to. So the order would read the complaint is dismissed.
Okay. Thank you, Attorney Ross. I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I move we amend the hearing officer's report in the manner that was just described by the hearing officer. Mm-hmm.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
So there's a motion made to accept the amendment, and there's a second. Is there discussion on the amendment?
Mr. Chairman, is the respondent, is that no objection?
No objection. Thank you.
No further comment.
Is there discussion on the amendment? I'll take a roll call. Commissioner Fusashi?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Chairman Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Now we'll go to the motion on the amended decision.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, with no objection of the respondent, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report as amended.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor on the decision as amended. Commissioner Fusashi?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
And Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously.
Thank you,
Attorney Wadler. Next is FIC 2022-0050, Catherine Camara and Rose Sobolewski versus Mark Ramo, State Marshal. Is Catherine Camara there, please? Is Rose Sobolewski there, please? Is Mark Ramo there, please?
Good afternoon, Your Honor. Danielle Perugini representing Mark Ramo. And we would be requesting adoption of the proposed final decision.
Thank you. Thank you, Attorney Perugini. I'd entertain a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, seeing that the complainants are not here and there's no objection to the respondents, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Fusashi?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Next is docket number FIC 2022-0056, Robert Schacht and Miller's Pond Company, LLC, versus Barry Weiner, Chairman, Water and Water Pollution Control Authority, City of New London, et al. Is there anyone here on that matter?
Attorney Brian Eastep on behalf of the respondents, and we would support adoption of the recommended dismissal.
Thank you. Is Robert Schacht here, please? I'd entertain a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, seeing that the complainants are not here and there's no objection of the respondents, I move adoption of the hearing officer report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call. Those in favor, Commissioner Fusashi?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes, passes unanimously. Next is docket number FIC 2022-0075, Paul Calabaugh versus Town Clerk, Town of East Granby, et al.
Yes, sir. Paul Calabaugh from East Granby, to request for adoption of the hearing officer's recommendation on this complaint. This is a 5-year data file.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone here from the Town of Granby, of East Granby?
Good afternoon, Attorney Scott Lingenfeld on behalf of the Town of East Granby. I'm here with the registrars, and we'd like to be heard on this.
Okay. Lingenfeld?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. We'll mark that ready. Next is docket number 2022-0110, Kevin Cox versus Chairman, Board of Education, Oxford Public Schools, et al. Is Kevin Cox here, please? Is there anyone here from the Oxford Public Schools?
Excuse me. Bianca Lodrado for the respondents, and we would also be requesting adoption of this decision.
And your last name again is?
Lodrado, Lodrato.
Thank you, counsel. You're requesting adoption?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'd entertain a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, seeing that the complainant's not here and there's no objection to the respondents, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Fusashi?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes, passes unanimously. Thank you, counsel. Next is docket number FIC 2022-0141, Richard Morin versus Acting Warden, Board of Warden and Burgesses, Borough of Litchfield, et al. Is there anyone, is Richard Morin here, please? Is there anyone here from Litchfield? I'd entertain a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Streeter, seeing no one's present to object, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Fusashi?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes, passes unanimously. Next is docket number FIC 2022-0218, Frank Bell versus Inspector, Health Department, City of New Britain, et al. Is there anyone here on that matter? Is Frank Bell here? Is there anyone here from the City of New Britain?
John Dykin from the City of New Britain, representing all the respondents.
How do you spell your last name?
D-I-A-K-U-N.
Would you like us to act on this?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I ask that the commission adopt the hearing officer's report and dismiss the complaint.
Okay. Is Frank Bell here? Hearing no response, I'd entertain a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Mr. Streeter, as was mentioned, this is a dismissal. The complaint is not here, and there's no objection to the respondents. I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Fusashi?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you, Attorney Dykin.
Thank you.
All right. Yep. Before we consider the cases, I will ask the Executive Director, Colleen Murphy, to please make the usual announcements.
Sure. As indicated by the chairman, the meeting is being recorded in its entirety, and it will be made available on our website very soon after this meeting. If you would like to access it there, if you have any issues, just let our staff know and we'll assist with that for you. And then in accordance with our regulations, oral argument is limited to 10 minutes per side, and I'll keep track of that for the parties.
Thank you. All right, so we'll call the first matter that's been marked ready. It's docket number FIC 2020-0421, Salvatore Coppola versus Chief Police Department, City of Derby, Police Department, City of Derby, and City of Derby. Would you just introduce yourselves for the record, please, starting with the complainants?
I'm the complainant, Salvatore Coppola, residing in Northern Connecticut.
Thank you.
Afternoon, Commissioners. John Marini, representing respondent, City of Derby.
Would you like to begin, Attorney Marini?
Thank you. City of Derby is objecting to the hearing officer's report, in part, per a memo that was submitted several weeks ago. The city takes absolutely no objection with performing a search of its police department records to determine whether or not there is any investigative reports relative to the incident that the complainant raises, which is essentially a complaint made against the town clerk in the city of Derby that he was participating in essentially a criminal activity. However, the issue that has arisen is that if there are any records identified, it is highly likely, in fact, I'd say it's 100% likely, that these records would contain uncorroborated allegations, which would be subject to destruction pursuant to Connecticut General Statutes 2-216, and also which would be privileged from discovery by, I believe, 210B3H. Certainly, the city has no issue providing the commission with an affidavit per the report if no materials exist. But again, the issue here is the report does not take into account what would happen if a report is discovered and it contains uncorroborated allegations of criminal activity. And I say this because it is apparent, and I can represent to the commission, that no criminal allegations were ever sustained in this situation. It was never put forth past an investigation phase based on complaints that were made directly to the police department. So it is very likely that if they exist and they were not destroyed yet, that they would be subject to destruction and they should be properly exempt from any disclosure here. So we would ask that the report simply be modified, that if uncorroborated allegations are what is discovered, that we either come back to the commission for an in-camera review or that we otherwise allow the police chief to put together an affidavit to that effect.
Thank you. Mr. Coppola?
I'm unfamiliar with what uncorroborated means in this context. I was a witness. There were two other witnesses who were interviewed. I was interviewed. If they exist, even the police notes should be available. What happened was, I have reason to believe, firm reason to believe, that a criminal act was suppressed by the executive offices in the city of Derby with the intention of protecting someone. So I would ask that the commission adopt the recommendation of the hearing officer, and we'll see where it goes from there.
Sir, can you tell us when you made your request, please?
Well, it's in the report.
August 5th, 2020?
I suppose so.
Okay. But it was in 2020?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. Counsel, can you tell me why a search hasn't been conducted for these records?
You know, I can't tell commissioners why it hadn't been commenced until this year, except that certainly it has been commenced at this point.
You're making arguments about records that you're not looking at. And the question is, you've had this request since 2020. You could have produced the records and then made your objections based on the actual records. You don't have records in front of you. My question is, why?
I think the city was taking the position that there were, in fact, uncorroborated allegations and believed that it did not have to produce the records. I think if this matter got to the commission sooner, I think it would have taken a different course. You know, all I can say is speaking here today that the city is absolutely willing to comply, but simply doesn't want to produce a document if it in fact contains uncorroborated allegations.
I still am uncomfortable with the fact that they haven't, we're now in 2023, they haven't determined what records exist, if any. I don't think that's appropriate. So, do any of the other commissioners have any questions?
This is Commissioner Hankins. I don't want to say flabbergasted, but I'm not at all pleased by not doing this and then relying on some other statute saying it's uncorroborated and therefore we don't have to comply. I mean, that's kind of odd, I think.
Well, certainly, commissioners, there would be no such representation. I think that if that statute did not apply, then the city would produce any records. I think what the city is looking for is to simply modify the order so that if a record is discovered, if it does exist, but if it contains what the city believes to be uncorroborated allegations, it at least has the ability to bring that before the commission through the process of an in-camera review. Certainly, the city is not looking to dodge any requirement at all to produce materials that would fall properly under the act. And I understand the timing, all I can say is the city would accept any timeline to act expediently here. The one thing the city does not want to happen is to identify something that should have properly been destroyed internally pursuant to the statute and then basically provide something that is an uncorroborated criminal allegation that would basically fly in the face of the FOI Act and state statute. But the city will act in any timeline that this commission deems appropriate.
May I speak for a moment?
Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Streeter, I think that, you know, perhaps I may have asked the hearing officer, but maybe some leniency as far as that is, because, I mean, in effect, that this is from what the hearing officer says, the hearing officer's report says, is that there was a witness of some activity in November of 2019, and it wasn't filed until, like I said, until, you know, 8-9 months later. So this wasn't obviously something that was very pressing for the complainant to make this. And then I said, if this comes out, we just had a case at our last special meeting that we talked about where there was there was no records or there was no responsive records. So I guess I would ask the hearing officer, is there room in the order to allow that if there is something as far as uncorroborated or by approving this, we're saying that even if we find something that's uncorroborated, they have to provide it to the complainant.
And I mean, that's right now what the order is. I would not be inclined to do that in this case, Mr. Streeter. Let me just put a
this
little
is Attorney
more.
Murphy.
Let me just put a little more color on this. You know, we had a hearing in November. The respondents did not appear. We attempted to reach them. We got no response. I even at the hearing said to Mr. Coppola, who was here, I said, I'm sorry, we may need to reopen this. I'm not sure I have enough evidence, but let's see what the respondents have to say. I left every door open for the respondents to seek a reopening, to explain what happened, why they weren't at the hearing. I was there. Counsel was with me, Attorney Mary Kate Smith, and we had Mr. Coppola here. And so now, you know, to issue this decision after, you know, a month plus, we didn't hear anything from them. We issued this decision based upon the evidence we have. And then to echo Commissioner Hankins, I'm flabbergasted myself that we would get a memo still not even saying whether there is a record that exists, maybe offering it in camera to us. I just don't want to issue a ruling based on a hypothetical when this is one simple record. If one does exist, it should have been produced. It simply doesn't work that way. You don't come in at this point and ask to kind of couch it in an exemption when you haven't even shown us that there's a record.
This is Commissioner Hankins. They didn't search, they didn't appear, and this is the third bite of the apple. You know, I would be of the mind to just approve this as is. And, you know, if the respondent doesn't like it, then let them appeal it.
So, Mr. Chairman, I just in response to what my answer from the hearing officer, that I can see where this is, and I would agree with the hearing officer's report that through the respondents coming in at this late hour asking for that is a little bit of a stretch, just considering that the complainant has done all his due diligence.
Thank you. Mr. Coppola.
Yes, I'd like to address Commissioner Streeter's concerns about the delay in my filing. My wife was related to the town clerk. She was dying of cancer, and as a courtesy to her, I did not file anything. That's the reason why I waited that long.
I was only making this Commissioner Streeter about the timing. I don't need to know the reason.
Well,
you can file for records at any point.
If any leniency was going to be granted because of the delay, I think that abrogates any leniency requested.
I concur.
Thank you.
Attorney Murphy, I agree with what you're saying. However, if in fact these records are records that were earmarked to be destroyed by statute, or should have been destroyed by statute, then we put Kirby at odds with state statute, with that statute and our statute. We're ordering them to produce records that they're supposed to destroy and not produce. How do we grapple with that?
No. The harsh side of me says that's on them.
As you
know, in a couple of other cases where similar type arguments have come up, the only other option that I would see is to order basically an immediate search and production of the record for in-camera inspection if one exists, and then we'll go from there.
Do we have to have another hearing if there's an in-camera inspection?
At this point, I don't know, because there's so little that I know. I would want to see the record if it exists, and then determine from there whether we need any additional evidence. So perhaps you could just, if that's what you're inclined to do, remand it, and the hearing officer and consult with my counsel will make a determination about how to reopen and address that request for the in-camera.
I don't know what the rest of the commission is thinking, but it's a concern I have. Council, I think you understand, and I'm not picking on you, but city understands that their obligation was to search for this record. When they missed that hearing, they should have done an immediate search for that record, produce the record. You're nodding your head. I'm assuming you're agreeing that.
Commissioners, I understand entirely.
You understand the law. They put you in an awkward position, but nevertheless, you're their advocate and you're here. They should know better. The law requires them to produce the record and then make their objections based on the record. If the record exists, this is crazy that we're talking about a record that may or may not exist. It should be here. It should have been examined in camera, and then there should have been a determination based on legitimate objections. You know the process. Maybe the city needs some training from the FOI. They can request that, or we can order it. But you're putting this commission in an awkward position, because really the decision should be against the city right now, and it should be adopted. And then it's the city's deal to figure out what they need to do. I don't know what the other commissioners, how the other commissioners feel about what I had said, but.
Commissioner Fusashi, I have a question.
Yeah.
So I'm very unsympathetic with deferring this decision because I'm unsympathetic on doing it on a hypothetical ground, which could have been resolved up to now. So I'm very unsympathetic of setting that precedent.
Yeah.
Procedurally, is it possible not to vote on this without a remand, but just to defer this decision for 30 days? Is there some other mechanism other than a remand, which is sort of to see if within 30 days somehow, or so when you know, second meeting next month. This can get resolved by production of records or an appropriate response by the city so that a decision can be made by the hearing officer of whether there is an argument or no argument about corroboration. Is there a method to defer the decision today without an actual formal remand?
Attorney Murphy?
Well, we can just table the matter, but I'm not sure, you know, what we hope to happen in between without some kind of intervention from the commission.
I'm hopeful that the representation by Derby that they would finish the work and make an argument about if they have a legal argument or not in that time frame will have happened. If it doesn't happen, then we've tested whether they are willing to actually produce and support what their attorney currently is asking for in a hypothetical context.
Mr. Chairman, yeah. Commissioner Strader, so I think that if we move forward, the city of Derby has, you know, 7 days, or they can be, or the complaint can bring non-compliance, or they have, you know, 45 days to file an appeal and let it be heard before the Superior Court, and they can explain to them why they're delayed.
Let me ask Attorney Marina. You knew you were coming here for a hearing today. You knew the decision was against you. What efforts have been made to find these records?
So I can tell you, commissioners, that I've been in touch with the city, and essentially the situation is they want to be absolutely sure that no document exists, because they understand, again, that this is not a situation where criminal allegations were confirmed. There was no arrest made. There was no referral to the court. There was no action, criminally speaking. So they understand it's a very likely then that if there is a report, that it was uncorroborated allegations. But before they comply with the order, which they take due note of, to submit an affidavit stating that no report exists, they want to be made absolutely certain that they're telling the truth to this commission and that there was a record that should have been destroyed but was not. And if that document exists, we want to bring that forward for a fair assessment.
That doesn't answer my question. My question was, what efforts have been made to locate this
report? We've instructed that the search be ongoing since we saw the report.
What did they do? They've had plenty of opportunities. What did they do? They knew you were coming to a hearing today. Are they diligently searching their computers?
I believe they're diligently searching the records. And
What records are they searching?
The police department records.
So they're looking at hard copies of records? Is that?
I would believe the software and the hard copies.
So you don't know. You're saying you believe. You don't know.
Exactly. I would believe that all efforts are being made.
So what I would suggest that we pass it, you give them a call and tell them they have till the end of the day to determine whether there's a record that exists. Mm-hmm. And if they would like to, this is what I would suggest. If they want to produce that record, we can get it by fax and we can look at it in camera. You can make your objections. If they don't produce the record, then I think we should just rule on the decision as it is written and maybe add a provision that says they can undergo some training. That's my suggestion.
This Commissioner Hankins, I certainly agree with that.
Okay. Commissioner Fusashi?
I agree with that concept. I'm not sure. Does that mean a motion or what is going to happen procedurally now?
No, I would just pass it and then...
I table it.
Just for this afternoon.
The record can't be faxed to us. Explicit in-camera procedures. So, I mean, we could follow that same path, but just kind of table it to the next meeting and leave that to the respondents. They would need probably to ask us to reopen to add that document and either maybe to offer some evidence related to it. So
I think I would like counsel to, if we're going down this route, counsel to determine whether in fact a record exists. You can certainly view that record. They can show it to you on the phone or whatever to determine whether you're going to be making an argument regarding uncorroborated statements. And then you can make the representation based on the record you have seen. So you're going to represent that you have seen the record and you are going to make that legitimate argument and then produce it. That might be an alternative approach, but I'm certainly willing to listen to what other commissioners have have to say.
This is Commissioner Hankins. I would agree with that wholeheartedly.
So if counsel represents, I've seen the record. It does produce, we do believe it, it has uncorroborated statements. We'd like to make that argument. I guess we would have to table it until where it's able to be produced to us so we can see it in camera.
Could we approve it and then if we have to do a motion to reconsider at the next meeting?
You could do that as well.
You could approve it?
We could approve it and they could seek to reopen, ask us to reconsider it based upon new evidence, which we don't have before us now.
That's a good alternative.
If the, any of the other commissioners have suggestions, or if they think that's fine.
Mr. Hankins, or Commissioner Fisk?
I would agree with that, yeah. I think that's fine.
So then, Commissioner Streeter has suggested then that we just approve it, and then we'd be open to a motion to reconsider should counsel produce evidence that there are, they are uncorroborated statements at the next meeting.
Hopefully within the next 7 days before they're required to provide the document and to make sure nothing gets destroyed.
Commissioner Hankins, I would certainly agree with that.
That would give you a little more time. What do you think, Commissioner Fuzeci?
I would be okay with that. Obviously, I guess if we approve it, it is a decision, then it's appealable also to the court. But I just don't want a hypothetical decision, which is what we're being asked. So I'm okay with approving it, or I'm okay with tabling it, whichever actually somebody wants to make a motion.
Yeah, so Mr. Chair, so because even if we reconsider and they want to have, have it at that point be remanded for additional testimony, explain why.
So when is our next hearing scheduled?
February 8th, I believe. So we would do nothing unless we get a motion for reconsideration.
So in order for it to get on our next docket, they would have to probably do it within 7 days or so. That way we can
on the next. This is Commissioner Hankins. I think that's an excellent idea to put the ball back in their court.
And so what Commissioner Hankins and Commissioner Streeter are saying is that you would have 7 days, counsel, to file for reconsideration, and it will make it on our agenda for February 8th. Okay. Do you understand what's going on, Mr. Capola? You do. Okay. So Commissioner Streeter has suggested that we approve this decision, which is in your favor, but because of the statute that talks about uncorroborated statements, and perhaps counsel, could you, Mr. Capola asked, what's the definition of uncorroborated statements?
So as respondent understands it, if an allegation of criminal activity is made, an investigation takes place, but basically those criminal allegations are not corroborated, there is nothing to substantiate that there was criminal activity, then the document is allowed to be destroyed. And the reason, of course, is that
what does corroborate mean?
Yep, matched up, basically, to verify that criminal allegation was alleged and confirmed by a witness or a source.
And there's a statute that addresses those. So if people are making accusations
I can understand that. I know that there was, I think I said this at the hearing, I'm not sure. There was definitely some social media information that would support
if the police do an intake and it never results in something that they think is a crime or is going to be acted on, then those allegations get destroyed. And I think that's what counsel is saying. They have to destroy them so that you wouldn't be able to see those.
Your corroboration becomes a judgment by someone.
Well, people can make all kinds of allegations and they could be untrue.
I understand that.
And so police have to investigate and determine. So those that are not founded are uncorroborated and get destroyed, and they wouldn't be available to you. So he is doing his job and he's going to rely on that statute if in fact the there are such allegations that, that were made and should have been or are destroyed. Sometimes they have copies, but the statute says they're destroyed and they're destroyed, so you wouldn't have access to them. So we're going to decide this, it sounds like, today in your favor. Nothing happens after 7 days, then they can appeal the decision, but we're probably not going to deal with the motion to reconsider.
Understand.
All right, good. I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Street, I move adoption of the hearing officer.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Fusashi?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. We did not include a provision that included training counsel, but I think it would be wise for you to ask for training from the FLR. And that might help you with your position. All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Capola.
Thank you,
Mr. Capola. All right.
Thank you, folks.
One suggestion.
For those of you up north there, I can confirm with corroboration that there is snowfall in Fairfield County coming down.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Okay. All right, so the next one is FIC 2020-0504, Jen Haythorne and Greg Haythorne versus Chairman, Board of Finance, Town of Weston, et al.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. Nicholas Bamonte on behalf of the respondents.
Thank you.
Jennifer Haythorne, the complainant.
Thank you. Mr. Attorney Bamonte, would you like to begin?
Certainly. Okay, Commissioners, thank you again. So we requested to be heard here because although we do support the vast majority of this proposed final decision, there's one finding that we disagree with. And in our opinion, it's because it's not consistent with the evidence that is already in the record here. And I offer this with all due respect to Attorney Ross, who is the hearing officer here, because as I said, I do think she got most of this right, but I also recognize and point out the facts in this case were very convoluted. There's four separate requests sent to multiple town officials over the course of 2020, with lots of communications amongst the complainants and the respondents in between. So as a result, the evidentiary record in this appeal was also very complex. Spanned the course of the year, we had multiple officials testifying. So this was a convoluted record. What's our problem with the proposed final decision? Paragraph 20, and that's on page 4. And I'll just read it to you. With regard to the September 15th request, so that's one of the four requests that I mentioned under appeal here. Described in paragraph 4 above, it's found that the respondents failed to prove that each member of the respondent board conducted a thorough search for responsive records. It's therefore found that the respondents failed to prove that they provided to the complainants all records they maintain that are responsive to that September 15th request. Basically saying, well, it's not that the respondents didn't comply, it's just that they didn't prove that they did, in fact, comply. And so as a result of that finding, the decision proposes a violation against the respondent Board of Finance. Throughout the entirety of the rest of this decision, and again, the four requests at issue, there were no violations found against the respondents. And when I'm going through this decision, it bothered me when I read paragraph 20 because my recollection was that we did actually put on evidence that all of those board members did in fact fulfill their obligations under the Act. So I went back, I looked at my notes, I looked at the actual hearing transcript, and when I did, it was pretty clear, to me at least, that the town administrator, Jonathan Louise, who had direct knowledge of all the efforts taken by these Board of Finance respondents to respond to this request. Mr. Louise, the town administrator, testified under oath that each member of the board conducted a search and that all responsive records had been produced. That exchange between Mr. Louise and I during the August hearing, I laid out in page 3 of my brief that I had filed with this commission for distribution prior to today's meeting. It's my brief is dated January 10th, but I'll just read you the highlights here. Mr. Louise states, quote, "I tried my best to communicate to the Board of Finance members that if they had such emails, to search for them and to produce them, to compile and produce them, if they had such emails that were deleted." And this request was a request for deleted emails. So that's why he's talking about deleted emails. So I asked Mr. Louise, do you recall reaching out to all of the Board of Finance members? Because I wanted to get that in the record at least. To which he responds, yes, my recollection is that I did speak with all of them. I did reach all of them. I continue. I asked Mr. Louise, did you ultimately forward any records that the Board of Finance members gave to you? Mr. Louise, yes. Some of the Board of Finance members forwarded. Some did have emails that were deleted, that were in their deleted emails box, that they sent to me, and I forwarded those to Mr. Haythorne, the complainant. So my point is, we do have testimony sworn under oath from the town administrator that he spoke to all the Board of Finance members about the request and their obligations to respond, that the Board of Finance members did search the records, that any one of them who had responsive records, i.e. deleted emails, forwarded them to Mr. Louise, the town administrator, and then Mr. Louise forwarded those records to the complainant. It's in evidence. But that testimony isn't it. I went on during the hearing to ask Mr. Louise whether the email production to the complainant, so the emails that he then received from the Board of Finance members and forwarded to the complainant, did we have proof of that? Was that shown in Respondent's Exhibit 5, which was admitted as a full exhibit during the hearings, to which Mr. Louise confirmed. So we also have in the record emails reflecting that for those Board of Finance members who did have responsive records, those records were sent to the complainant by Mr. Louise. I mean, documentary evidence of that. And I think it's also relevant that in the email that Mr. Louise forwarded the responsive records to the complainant, he states, quote, "The other Board of Finance members do not have any such emails to provide." So not only do we have sworn testimony that cuts against this finding in paragraph 20, we have an actual document and evidence that corroborates that testimony, to use a word that's been swimming around a lot today. I'm almost done here, but the last thing I'll say is that I did take some issue also with this finding because, again, it says that the respondents failed to prove. Effectively finding a violation based upon an evidentiary shortcoming that's perceived by the hearing officer. And I get that. I'm a lawyer. The hearing officer is the fact finder, the decision maker. But all of the Board of Finance members were present at the August hearing. They all attended. They were ready and able to testify. Even members who now, 2 years later, the request came in 2020, our hearing was in 2022. A handful of these members no longer serve government. A couple moved out of town. One moved out of state. They were all on the hearing. But those board members never testified. Why? Because the complainant filibustered any opportunity for us to put those witnesses on during the August hearing. He used all of the time that we had available in cross-examination of Mr. Louise. So we didn't have enough time to get to those Board of Finance members. But again, because I knew Mr. Louise had direct involvement, direct knowledge of what those Board of Finance members did,
I was comfortable putting his testimony on, taking us through the entire timeline of this saga, because I almost anticipated that we weren't going to get to those Board of Finance members. They weren't ordered to attend, nor were they ordered to attend the subsequent hearing in September. So, I mean, these are volunteers. Again, they were willing to spend and did spend the entirety of the afternoon in August, plus hours of prep time with me. They were ready and able to clear the air here and clear their name. It just didn't happen. So for all these reasons, the sworn testimony by the town administrator, the emails in evidence verifying the production, and the willingness of the Board of Finance respondents to clear their name, I mean, we're asking, with all due respect, the commission reject this proposed final decision and order a revision based on the evidence.
Thank you.
The only thing I would like to say is that through the 4 years that Greg and I have been diligently involved in this whole process and learning about what the FIC is and what they do and how our town government works, I can say that we have diligently, respectfully, and professionally provided information, evidence, in a way where there is no doubt what we say is absolutely the truth. We are not attorneys. Could I get a hand raise of the attorneys in the room? Who are you, I assume you all are attorneys?
No, that isn't appropriate. Go ahead.
Okay, so assuming everyone is an attorney, you guys are all attorneys. There's just one quote that I wanted to state, which is, the law is reason, free of passion. And that's just a rhetorical question when you get home tonight to ask yourselves if when you look in the mirror, you can be happy with the work that you do and the people you represent and feel good about it. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Attorney Ross.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to just provide a little bit more context so that you can evaluate the remarks of counsel. At the first hearing, Mr. Luis, the witness that we're talking about here, the town administrator, his testimony with regard to this particular request for deleted emails was very unconvincing and very uncertain. He testified that he thought he asked all Board of Finance members to produce their deleted emails. There were some that were produced. He didn't have the date. And then he said he believed he followed up with each person, but he didn't really remember. So at the end of that first hearing, you know, I was sort of baffled as to why this witness was testifying as opposed to the Board of Finance members testifying. So I did order the respondents to produce the Board of Finance members. I didn't execute a written order. I guess I could have. I didn't feel that I needed to. And at the next hearing, the August hearing, all of the Board of Finance members showed up. So, of course, I anticipated that counsel would call them, but instead he recalled Mr. Luis and then proceeded to spend the entire period that we had allotted for this hearing examining Mr. Luis again and basically rehabilitating him. So I never got to hear from the Board of Finance members, and then the hearing ended. So I guess when you read the testimony that's quoted in the respondent's brief, and you look at that, it's a little more certain, but he didn't close the loop. Some people did. Yeah, I did. I followed up. I forwarded. Some had emails that were deleted. Some sent me them, but there was never any sort of definitive testimony that the search was conducted. Each and every person got back to me, and some had records and some. It just wasn't convincing testimony to me. So, again, Attorney Bumanti is exactly right. It's maybe they did do a diligent search, but their time to have presented that evidence to me as the hearing officer was at the hearing. And this is kind of how I feel about it. This is how I came out. So I just wanted to, you know, there's multiple sides to every story, but I just wanted to have all of that information.
Attorney Ross, did anyone ever ask for a continuance?
No.
Thank you. Do any of the other commissioners have questions for Attorney Ross or the respondent?
Well, this is Commissioner Hankin.
Yes.
Attorney Ross is an experienced hearing officer, and this went through three hearings. You know, I don't know. I can understand kind of what happened and all the flurry and the delay tactic that the respondent's attorney is implying that the complainant is. But if it comes down to keeping it as is, I would go that way. And insofar as what the complainant said, I'm embarrassed to say that her quote about the law being free passion, that's legally blind. I don't know if it was Aristotle or Socrates saying it, but I think it came from Legally Blonde, the movie. I'm embarrassed that I know that.
Aristotle said it.
So there were actually three hearings, Attorney Ross?
And they were difficult hearings. I have some sympathy for the respondents. It's the Haythorns. Mr. Haythorn did conduct some very thorough cross-examination. But again, I think that I would have liked to have heard from the Board of Finance members.
I think that Attorney Ross is a very experienced fact finder. I do give a lot of credence to what the fact finder determines, just because they have boots on the ground, and they know what's going on. She's done this for many years. So I'm inclined to adapt the decision.
If I may be heard one more time.
One second.
Mr. Chairman, I know you've had three, so it wouldn't really help if you were to have additional testimony from the Finance Committee at this time. The ship has sailed, so to speak.
Hearings can always be reopened and essentially be giving the respondents another bite at the apple.
But in this case, too many bites at the apple.
It's up to the commissioners. And I'm certainly, if you have questions about it, we could table it. I can take another look at the evidence. But again, that's up to you. And I want to point out, I do need to make a slight amendment as well. Just a word is missing that needs to. Just in paragraph 4, I neglected to write that these were deleted emails. So in the second sentence begins with the word copy. It should be copy of all deleted emails.
You need an amendment?
Probably. I think so, yes. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I'll move that amendment.
There's a second.
Mr. Hankin, second.
Motion's made and seconded. Any discussions on the amendment? I'll take a roll call with regard to of those in favor of the amendment only. Commissioner Fuzeci?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. The amendment passes unanimously.
Mr. Chairman, if I can continue.
Yes, I'm sorry.
So back to the hearing office. So if we were to remand this for you to look at the evidence, could you at that point make a decision if you needed another hearing or if you're content with that?
It's hard to know whether I would need another hearing or not, but I look at the evidence again. It's quoted, you have some of it here. You have the testimony here in conjunction. You know, as a hearing officer, it's really my role to sort of assess the credibility of the witnesses, the demeanor, the tone, all of that. This witness was not a great witness. And I don't think that he didn't quite close the loop for me. And again, I think that the Board of Finance members were present. They could have easily, counsel could have just questioned them. Did you do a search? Did you provide, and that didn't happen. So all of those things kind of combined to lead me to this recommendation. But again, if the commissioners feel uncertain about it, I can certainly take another look at it.
I may be the only one that's uncertain. I don't know if I am.
You're uncertain.
Just a little bit. But the other commissioners are.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes, Commissioner Hankins, thank you. I don't know if Attorney Ross goes back and looks at the testimony and whether it's going to ultimately change the decision. It may massage the paragraph again a little bit, but a paragraph 20 or so, but I don't know if it's ultimately going to change the decision.
Well, I only mention it because it looks like that paragraph 20 is what hinges whether there's a violation.
Commissioner Streeter, what do you want to do?
We have time on this, correct?
Yes. I think it boils down to whether, as the hearing officer said, you want to give the respondents another crack at it. Probably reviewing the evidence she has would not be sufficient to change the finding.
Yeah,
but maybe
typically, I don't like it. Again, Commissioner Streeter, I typically don't like multiple bites at the apple, but it sounded like for all intents and purposes, the respondents didn't put the people on for testimony that needed to be there, and they were present. But whatever happened with time, they didn't get to them or not. I'd rather have a good decision move forward than a possibly one that timed out and that we didn't get the right There still may be a violation. So it was just my thoughts.
Well, one thought that I have, Commissioner Streeter, as you're talking, if the commission is so inclined, the matter could be remanded and reopened for the purpose of taking additional testimony in the form of affidavits from all of these people. It would have been great to have heard from them at the hearing, but we didn't. And sort of in line with what you're saying, Commissioner Streeter,
I think I have trouble with that. Attorney Ross, I think you have to offer the opposite side to have an opportunity to cross-examine those witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand you're trying to be efficient.
Well, if it doesn't sway my commissioners, I would move that we remand it to the hearing officer to get the additional or reopen a hearing or to get the testimony so that both the complainants and respondents have an opportunity to either put on testimony or have cross-examination.
Commissioner Hackett, I'm agreeable to that.
Commissioner Fusashi?
I'm agreeable to that, but I have one thought, and I don't know where this falls. I am a lawyer, I'm passionate, but there are a lot of people that do public service serving on these boards in mid-sized and smaller towns. It's a great service, and some get older and some move away, and I think when taking evidence from that kind of group of people, one needs to take into consideration how to take that evidence and how to evaluate that evidence. And so that's I have great, I understand the law and I understand that this is a fact judgment and I have great respect for, Attorney Ross and her experience, but maybe it's my life experience, but I just think in this kind of process, one has to some degree in evaluating the evidence and in taking the evidence, taking into account the group of people from whom one is trying to get that evidence, who might be that period. That's just the personal aspect of this, but I yes, I favor Attorney Ross going back and then coming back, depending on how she conducts it, what happens with whatever is the appropriate recommendation, whether it's this hearing or revised one down the road.
Thank you,
Mr. Chairman. Just one final, as an aside, following up on Commissioner Pizzetti, since he brought it up, I am not an attorney, but I think that looking in the mirror of my almost 38 years in elected and appointed municipal government. I think that's the reason why I was looking at this, thinking of the, you know, the municipality from that perspective, why I was concerned about moving forward. So I would make that motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Streeter. Just one second. I want to give both parties an opportunity to speak. Council, you just wanted to speak.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just very briefly to Commissioner Fuzesi and Commissioner Streeter's point. These Board of Finance responders, obviously, they're volunteers. Like I said, many of them have moved on with their lives. They already spent a lot of time on this and, you know, aren't all that interested in coming back. But so I think I can say that it would be it was difficult to get them to all attend one hearing, and to come back may present additional issues. So I would have supported, I understand your hesitation, Mr. Chairman, but I would have supported Attorney Ross's suggestion that in an effort to perhaps add some clarity to the evidence that's already in the record, to accept affidavits as supplemented evidence from the Board of Finance members at issue here. That has been done at the discretion of hearing officers in prior cases. I don't know if Attorney Murphy has any specific thoughts on the legalities of doing so, but I mean, this is, we're not bound by the specific rules of evidence here.
Thank you. Before,
I didn't realize that I was allowed to make a statement, which I had written, so I'm going to say it now. Cut me off if you would like to. In the matter of 0504, the FIC held three hearings. One, in the first, the respondent counsel and witness for the town of Weston were reprimanded by the FIC hearing officer as being the most unprepared she had seen in her entire career with the FIC. The witness was dismissed and told he would not be needed further, and she scheduled a second hearing to which she called every Weston Board of Finance member to testify. In the second hearing, one of these boards of finance members did not attend, which happened to be the member primarily responsible for generating the records at the heart of our complaint. In her place, counsel for the respondents offered a sworn affidavit, which was declined by the hearing officer upon our objection due to our concerns regarding accuracy and reliability of the affidavit. Respondent witness testimony was offered and taken. Three, in the third hearing, we submitted as evidence the sworn affidavit of the BOF member, evidence to which respondent counsel objected. You heard that correctly. Respondent counsel opened the third hearing by objecting to the sworn affidavit he prepared for his witness, and she signed under oath. In doing so, they established for the public record the unreliability of respondents in this matter from start of the ombudsman process through the third hearing. As a result, due to the obvious failure of respondents over the course of three full FIC hearings during the course of much of 2021 and 22 to produce the evidence of thorough record search and production, hearing officer Ross found respondents in violation of the law. It is our understanding that hearing officer Ross has 14 years of experience and tenure with the FIC, and that she is also a managing director of the commission. Perhaps more than any other, she is more than qualified to correctly recognize failure to produce records and lack of evidence. We have read the closing argument of respondent counsel. Though we lack formal legal training, we found no reference to some obscure or technical legal precedent which might be valid cause for reconsideration of the finding for violation. The entire closing argument appears to be simply that respondent counsel would have this commission believe the subtlety of his representation of facts in this complaint were too complex for hearing officer Ross to correctly interpret. We cannot imagine a greater waste of taxpayer funds or anything more insulting to hearing officer Ross or this commission. Thank you, Commission, for your work on this matter. Only when the full commission upholds hearing officer Ross's ruling for violation can there be hope for the Weston community of the increased openness of town government, which the commission is charged with ensuring. Thank you.
Ms. Haythorn, you mentioned in your statement there was one primary witness from the Board of Finance that did not testify. Who was that?
Steve Ezzies.
You felt that Steve Ezzies, spell his last name.
E-Z-Z-E-S, E-Z-Z-E-S.
Yes.
He was the board, he was the chairman of the board of finance at the time.
And you felt that his testimony was necessary?
Correct.
So if you had a right to cross-examine only one witness, it would be that witness that you'd want to cross-examine, correct?
I believe that is correct. If I change my mind, I will let you know.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I would be remiss if I didn't mention that Mr. Aziz did, in fact, testify at the August hearing.
So, Ms. Hazelin, you did have an opportunity to cross-examine Mr. Aziz?
I think I'm confused, and I am not certain, so I will have to get back to you.
Is he the chairman at counsel?
He was the acting chairman at the time.
He did testify. I think she's thinking of a woman named Amy Gare.
Amy Gare was on the...
Who then did testify.
And she did. That is correct.
That's the affidavit that I think Ms. Hazelin's referring to, but then she did actually testify.
Attorney Ross, how do you spell Gare?
I think it's G-A-R-E.
G-A-R-E?
G-A-R-E.
And Ms. Hazelin, that's the primary witness, you think?
Well, it is true that she did testify. She's the one that signed the affidavit.
Let me ask you this. If you could cross-examine a member or two members of the Board of Finance, what members would you like to cross-examine?
Do I have to tell you right now?
Do you want a minute to
I'm phoning a friend.
Sure.
Sorry.
You can take him. And maybe, I just was going to ask Attorney Murphy, while you're trying to reach whoever you're going to call, Attorney Murphy, there was a question with regard to the affidavits that was posed by counsel.
Right. I mean, as you know, we have taken affidavits on occasion, and I think it on more than on occasion. But, I mean, it depends on the facts and circumstances. You're absolutely right. If there's no opportunity to cross-examine, sometimes that's, you know, extremely detrimental to a case. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes the parties are just looking for something under oath that says this is what happened, and that's sufficient. So I think it's really on a case-by-case basis.
I'm just wondering if there can be a mix of affidavits here from the Board of Finance plus testimony, and we might be able to satisfy both counsel and Ms. Hazelin.
Are any of the members current members?
Isn't a fourth hearing rather unprecedented, would you say, or no? Just curious if you know off the top of your head. Because it does lead someone to believe that we are going on and on with these hearings at the expense of taxpayers, which we are trying to help. And if it's a foregone conclusion, please just let's do it now.
I think what you're seeing is the commission trying to work out.
It sounds that way. It sounds that way, but I don't know. Another hearing. That's what I'm saying. It sounds like a way to keep this going along.
The fourth hearing was warranted, and Attorney Ross had a motion to continue this. I'm not saying she would have. It would have been up to the fact finder to determine, yes, I'll continue this. But counsel has indicated that certain witnesses were there ready to testify and did not have an opportunity to testify because they ran out of time. For whatever reason, he said it was because of the cross-examination that was being done on mm-hmm. your side. It could have been for whatever reason. But nevertheless, it could have been continued. So there could have been a fourth hearing and there could have been a fifth hearing if that's what justice required.
Well, so, how many in these situations have you ever had? How many have there ever
we're
been?
We're not here.
I'm just curious to know. Okay, that is fine, but it is. Yeah.
So what I'm asking you, if you need a moment to speak with someone?
Yes, do you mind?
Why don't we take a 5-minute break or we can move on? I don't know. What do you prefer?
I don't need to break a few. There are no secrets that I'm calling.
Is that the last one?
No.
Okay,
Which one is that? 075? Okay. All right. Well, we'll take a 5-minute break. We're going to take a 5-minute break. Commissioner Hankins and Commissioner Kadesh. You can go get a
soda. Thank you.
You can go get a soda.
Okay.